Hi, this is Nathan W. Bingham, host of Renewing Your Mind, and I want to invite you to join us in Orlando for our Ligonier National Conference. Beginning May 23rd, Christians from around the world will gather to hear biblical teaching and enjoy fellowship together. This year's theme is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over 3 days, we'll focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. To learn more and register, visit ligonier.org/2024.
Well, welcome back to another episode of 5 Minutes in Church History. On this episode, we are returning to our deserted island, and we have a very special guest with us. Our guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Dr. MacArthur, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, this is an interesting deserted island. It's a very theologically rich deserted island. Somebody has left it stocked with Augustine and the works of Edwards, and we can go back to the Reformers. Calvin and Luther is here. So you're going to have quite a library for your stay on the deserted island. But in addition to those books, if you could just take 5 books with you on your deserted island, what 5 books would they be?
Wow. It's always hard to pin them down to 5, but I think the first book, and I say this because it had such a profound impact on me historically, would be Stephen Charnock's Existence and Attributes of God. I didn't grow up in a Reformed environment. I grew up in a pretty, you know, basic sort of vanilla, typical evangelical environment. And when I discovered Reformed theology, I first discovered it in Charnock. That was the first thing that I read. And I didn't know that it was possible to have that many thoughts about God.
it's
inexhaustible.
That book will keep you busy.
It is inexhaustible. And at the same time, I was anchored down by Warfield on the authority and inspiration of Scripture. I mean, those are influential books. I would think I would want to go back to those. I think I would want to have Hodge theology. Is that okay? Does that pass muster?
I think it'd be great to have the original Princetonian there. If you've got Warfield, we need Hodge too.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm assuming there's a Bible.
But there is a Bible.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we have...
I think there's actually a MacArthur study Bible.
Oh, on the island?
On the island, imagine that.
We're home free. We can forget the rest of the books, right? Boy, pinning me down on other books is hard because I've been so widely influenced. I think a couple of missionary biographies.
Interesting.
I have been profoundly affected by studying William Carey. And just that whole kind of experience of sacrifice at that massive level has, I think it's good for us to compare ourselves against those who really made monumental sacrifices.
And his perseverance.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. The hardship he endured really throughout his...
Years and years and years of work and it all burns up.
Oh, yeah. It's
unbelievable.
Printing press and all
that. I need that kind of modeling and that kind of example. I mean, those are some of the books I'd want.
That's great. You know, you've written a number of books yourself. And when we have authors visit our island, we always ask if they wouldn't mind leaving a book behind for the next guy who gets stuck there. So which of your many books, the study Bible's already there, so we got that. Of the other books that you've written, which one that you think you'd like to see left behind there?
It would probably be The Gospel According to Jesus.
I was hoping you might say that.
Look, coming out of seminary, I had certain assumptions that one of the things I would be battling would be the issues of inerrancy and inspiration and authority of the Scripture. I came through seminary when that was a battleground. I knew I would face paradigms of sanctification that were wrong, Wesleyan paradigms, charismatic paradigms, and I knew I needed to have a clear biblical doctrine of sanctification. But I never really believed that I would spend so much of my ministry trying to defend the gospel inside the church. That's a shock to me. But, you know, from the get-go, I faced that. I came out of seminary. I preached for a while, worked with my dad. And then I came to Grace Community Church in 1969, and the first sermon I preached there, the first sermon was Matthew 7, How to Play Church. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. Because even by that point in my late 20s, I knew that churches were full of people who didn't even understand the gospel.
Well, that book certainly was part of a controversy that came to be known as the Lordship Salvation Controversy. Well, thank you very much, Dr. MacArthur.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve.
I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for listening to 5 Minutes in Church History. Well, as we finish today, we have a quote from a 20th century figure, and a Dutchman at that, Abraham Kuyper. "When the thirst for knowledge directs itself to him to whom man and all creation owe their origin, existence, and consciousness, then man stands no longer above, but beneath the object of his investigation. And over against this object, he finds himself in a position of entire dependence."